Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Fashion Hotline.
Hi, this President's Day, my family wants to exercise our right to cute new styles.
I vote for Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, the new styles you want now are up to 50% off store-wide. Get new tops, new dresses, and new jeans for the whole family on sale now, including women's rockstar jeans.
Up to 50% off store-wide?
And buy online and pick up in store for free. Jeans start at just $15 for adults, $10 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Now that's democracy in action.
Rush in for up to 50% off store-wide. Hurry, ends tomorrow. Valid 2/11 to 2/18. Flex styles only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you'd like to be a guest, have a question, or a show idea, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight I have a really incredible show planned. I am bringing back one of my guests, Bonnie Kay. She is an author and also a radio show host. Tonight I wanted to bring her back because I'm receiving so many questions and so many case studies about people dealing with toxic people in their life, abuse and trauma, and I really wanted to bring Bonnie back because she does so much work with women who are faced with trauma and abuse and toxicity. Bonnie, thank you so much for returning again to Insight into Healing.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Alexa.
Yes. You know, I wanted to bring you back because I just always get these questions in my inbox from Insight into Healing and also many of my clients about having toxic people in their life and how to handle them, how to deal with either the verbal abuse, the neglect, the comments, and sometimes even physical abuse. And a lot of these people can range from toxic people from being a coworker, a friend, a loved one, and even a significant other. In the work that you do, you must come across this so many times.
Most of the women that I work with are in toxic relationships, and, of course, in their marriages and relationships. But I also find that the vast majority of women who are in this situation come from toxic relationships at home. So, in other words, they were raised where there was parental neglect or where there was abuse by a parent. And so it's always, to me, learned behavior through the years of counseling that I've done. You know, I tell my women, it's the monkey see, monkey do, monkey act, just like you syndrome. That whatever your children see at home and whatever you've seen at home, you repeat that legacy because that is your learned behavior. If you're living in a situation with parents who are abusing you, who are knocking you down, and there are a lot of parents, you know, not every parent is a good parent. There are parents that have all kinds of personality disorders like narcissism where, you know, they put their needs before yours or they put their need to be successful before your need to be successful as a child. And it's very hard to accept this, you know, when you think a parent is supposed to be there to love you, to nurture you, but I see it all the time. And then you're very likely to get yourself into a situation with someone who's just like that. We repeat those behaviors. Have you found that also?
Yes, yes. And I find you almost start building up a tolerance for it, I think, especially when, as you said, if it starts in the home from a parent or even a sibling. After a while, it becomes almost the new dysfunctional normal. And a lot of times when people are growing up with that, at first they really don't realize this is not normal behaviors. And I feel that a lot of my clients have built up almost a negative tolerance for, you know, negative comments, abusive comments, emotional abuse, physical abuse, where they've almost been, they've been groomed to take the abuse, but also to turn around and blame themselves that it must be something wrong with me instead of putting the blame on the person responsible for it. And I find it's such so many layers and such a slippery slope for people to go through.
It is. And I think what people don't realize is that you pick up these behaviors. And I know when I was a young mother, I wasn't that young when I first became a mother. I was 30. 29, 30, and I had my children, and my marriage, you know, ended at an early point when they were, you know, still babies practically. And I know it was very hard for me. You know, I didn't have a lot of knowledge and skills at that time. I only had a high school equivalency diploma. I hadn't been to school yet. And I would see myself when I would get frustrated or angry at my children because it was really hard raising two little babies, and they would do something wrong, and I would start yelling at them, and I would start hearing the same exact thing that my mother used to yell at me, that I swore that if I ever had children, I would never say it. But I think what happens is that this is your learned behavior. This is how you react when you don't think. And it really, at that point, after doing that a few times, I said in my head, oh, no, I can't do this. I am not going to have them hurt like I was hurt. Even though my mother wasn't trying to intentionally hurt me or my father did terrible things to me, you know, it's a matter that you have to love and nurture children and not give them all these negative messages. And it really made me start thinking. I had to change my whole way of thinking so that my children wouldn't have to take the same kind of dysfunction that I grew up in. But it takes a lot of self-awareness. I mean, you can do it. But as you said, people will either go into abusive relationships coming out of one, or they will create one for, you know, their own children. They will repeat those behaviors. I find that often happening too.
Oh, yes. I think it really impacts, which I've seen so much, your sense of self, if you've even been able to develop one. As you, in the beginning, mentioned narcissistic parents. Having a narcissistic mother or having a narcissistic father, many people who have not dealt with it, either personally or as a professional, don't realize that when there's a narcissist parent, the child is not allowed to have their own feelings. And if they feel something, they are guilted and shamed for even having feelings. So imagine a child being verbally abused, emotionally abused, and then a narcissistic parent telling that person, that child, you don't have those feelings and you should feel even worse for having those type of feelings. How confusing that child as they grow up into a teenager, adolescent, young adult to adult, as they are picking their mate, as they are going to school, picking friends, and also in workplaces, you can almost see how they would tolerate such horrible behavior towards them, because their mind that has been so dysfunctional and distorted what they've been taught.
Well, that's exactly right. And the behaviors that you put up with at home, because you're raised that way to put up with them, are the same behaviors that you run into when you go to a workplace or you go into your future marriage or relationship, because this is what your expectations are. You're not expecting better for yourself. And I work with some women who have the lowest self-esteem, who are the most beautiful women. I mean, they could model. And I would always think to myself, boy, if I look like that, I would be on Broadway. You know, why are these women so injured that they can't even know who they are? And, you know, I always said that if I had $1 million, I would stop everything. All I would do is study self-esteem. But I don't really have to study it now, because after 35 years of dealing with it, I realize that if you don't feel good about yourself because of messages that you've been given your whole life, and I've seen it in the most beautiful women, physically beautiful, emotionally beautiful, they feel so terrible about themselves. And no matter what you tell them, they don't believe it, because that's how bad these messages have been. And then they go from the frying pan into the fire. You know, they think they're escaping whatever hell they're in growing up by marrying someone. And, you know, guys who are narcissists and sociopaths, they know how to recognize women who are vulnerable. They know how to pick them out of a crowd, and they know how to cajole them into a relationship by love bombing them or telling them how wonderful they are. And when you haven't heard those messages your whole life, naturally you're sucked into it. But they're just trying to, you know, suck you in, and they do the same thing to you. So I see that repeated behavior over and over again. Do you seem to find that in your studies too?
Absolutely. And I think what you brought up was such an important point. When a child, either a female or a male, has grown up with only negativity and never a compliment, never shown any love, never been told they've done anything well or that they'll amount to something, they meet someone that says, wow, you're wonderful, and that person love bombs them, tells them how great they are, how incredible they are, and grooms them, so that person becomes so frightened that this person would ever abandon them or that they would you know, disapprove of them, they will put up with anything because they're just so happy someone finally said something nice to them, and also as the narcissist sociopath do, they start to withdraw love. They start to hold back. They abandon, which it's almost, you know, it's as if you someone was starving on an island for weeks and someone put a steak in front of their face and dangled it and kept pulling it away from them. The person becomes enraged, becomes frenzied to get that. The victim, that person, becomes that person because they so want that approval. And that's, again, how the narcissist, the abuser, controls and keeps that person under their thumb.
I'm going to tell you something, Alexa. I have a woman who's part of my support network who is a very wonderful, beautiful woman. And her name is Janine Finelli. She's a health coach. And, you know,
yes,
she does beautiful work. And you know who I'm speaking about. Janine's just an amazing person. And when I met her, she had the most profound words tattooed on her two hands. Love is kind. That, to me, says everything. You know, that kind of sums it up in three words, that if you're in a relationship where somebody's knocking you down, that's not love. If you have something where somebody's beating you, that is not love. If you have someone who's mistreating you in any way or verbally or whether it's physically, that's not love. But we're so desperate to find this, you know, love. And especially women, we're socialized that way. You know, we're socialized growing up with these fairy tales, and that's what they are, Snow White, Cinderella. You know, women who are so misfortunate, always finding a prince charming to save them. And I think that that is part of who we are. Women in general are caretakers. You know, we're nurturers. We have children. You know, we love our pets. We love our families. We love everybody because that's how women are. But that's why it's so easy to take advantage of women, especially vulnerable women. And like I say, these men pick us out of the crowd. And I was one of them. You know, I'm the first to tell women, learn from my mistakes. You know, I didn't feel good about myself, and I settled for a lot less than I should have just because I wanted somebody to love me. And, you know, I made that mistake a number of times in my life, you know, thinking that it is love. Even my father, when I was growing up, you know, he abused me physically. I mean, I had a weight problem, but nothing like, you know, it's an adult weight problem. Maybe 20 pounds when I was younger, and every week he would put me on a scale. And if I didn't lose weight, he would hit me with a belt. And he said to me he was doing this out of love because he loved me so much and he didn't want me to have a hard time in life, that I wouldn't find a man who could love me for myself. You know, in his mind, this is what he thought was right to do. But you can only imagine the kind of stigma that, you know, I felt for myself as being unwanted, unlovable. So, yes, I did look for love in a lot of the wrong places just because I wanted to prove that somebody could love me. But, you know, if I had been with a father who made me feel good about myself and who said, you know, look at all the wonderful things you do, you deserve somebody just as wonderful as you, my life may have very well gone in a totally different direction. So that's why I say so many of these relationships, even from people who are supposed to love you like your mother and your father, are not positive relationships. They are toxic relationships. And what I tell my women is you must cut the toxicity out of your life. And as hard as it is,
absolutely,
will be as good as it is after you do it. But it is hard.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, it is so hard. And I think those negative messages become ingrained in our minds and become negative monologues that we play in our mind moving forward. And I always tell my clients, I said, it's so important to watch who you surround yourself with. And I know that seems like such an easy thought and a cliche thought and all of that, but it's very important. Look at who you're surrounding yourself with. They have to be positive. Don't have to be perfect. They have to be want the best for you, are working on themselves, are passionate about something. Because I find that people will allow people around them and also minimize their behavior and their impact of their negativity, but also say, you know, they're harmless. They're not harmless. I really stand by if it's a friend, a coworker, a loved one, someone that you're dating, it really, even if it's the most smallest passive-aggressive negativity, it becomes toxic. And it's very important, especially if you've come from a dysfunctional home, to be very aware of who you're surrounding yourself with and what are you allowing yourself to hear and be exposed to on a daily basis. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I mean, I have women who come to me, and I have men, too, who come to me, and they're having trouble in their relationship. And so they work an 8-hour job that they hate. Then they come home for 8 hours to be with somebody who makes them miserable, and they can't wait to escape to go to bed. And I tell them, you know, why not just take, you know, a gun and end it now? Why are you doing this to yourself, punishing yourself every day and being miserable? You know, I don't work with people who are happy. I work with people who are miserable. And I always say that if you're miserable, you have to find an end to this misery. And as hard as it is, and hard as it is to cut somebody off, you don't love yourself enough, you know, if you don't cut them off. And I think that's the key to it. People who feel good about themselves, who feel healthy, they feel they deserve better, and they're willing to walk away. But I will tell you that it is so difficult. When I was in marriage to, you know, my last husband, it was a very mentally abusive relationship. It wasn't physically abusive, it was mentally. And I was a strong woman before I met him. And I always tell this to women, I was really in a strong place in my head, in my life, in my career. And I met him, and he was charming, and, you know, he just swept me off my feet. You know, I really fell for him. And he was the worst abuser. You know, he would shout. He was what I call a rageaholic. He always had to have his way. And if he didn't have his way, he would knock you down, not physically, but mentally, and push all those buttons with all your weaknesses to make me feel so terrible about myself and not take on any responsibility for doing anything wrong. And people think, well, that can't happen to me. Well, I would have thought the same thing. And that's why I do have sympathy for women who live in abusive relationships who can't just walk away, because it took me time to walk away. And when you're living with the abuse, sometimes it's very difficult to walk away because you have no place to walk to. Women don't have the resources that they need. They don't have family support. And so many times when you have those narcissistic parents, they're going to sit and support that narcissistic spouse of yours or partner of yours, because they're in the same boat. They'll sit and both knock you down together, and that's even worse because now you have no parental support when you're in a damaging situation. I see that a lot. Do you see that also?
Yes, yes. And, you know, one of my specialties is working with domestic violence victims. And so many times, a lot of times, they are not ready to leave, and it's, you know, not my place to ever tell them if they should leave or when to leave, because it's also a very dangerous time to leave. But I find it so hard for those women, those men, to stay in such an abusive relationship. But also, I think a lot of times, it's the grooming. They've been groomed either by their own family or by this person that they're with now to not have any self-worth, to believe they don't deserve anyone to be treating them nicely. I've had clients who believe they don't even should not even be treated nicely. They don't. Why would they deserve anyone to even acknowledge they're human and that they're alive? Which is really disturbing if you think about that, that someone would think so less of themselves that they don't think they should even be, a person on the street should see that they're a person and say hello to them, that they don't even deserve that. And you think, you know, what has this person gone through in their life that they don't even think that they're a person? They don't even think they belong on this earth, that they have no impact. And I find it's a lot of the work when I work with these type of people is to help them start realizing or even that they're a human, that they deserve respect. They deserve to be happy, which is a really foreign thought for many, many people. People deserve to be happy. That's our God-given right. People don't earn that because they look a certain way, they have a certain job, or they were born into a certain family. Everybody has the right to be happy and the right to be loved.
They do, but as I tell you, you know, every time we talk, I, in my heart, believe you can never start to heal as long as you're living in an abusive situation. And people use that word loosely, healing. But the truth of the matter is you can't move ahead as long as you're being held back. You can make a game plan, and that's what I do with my women. I mean, I make a game plan. I say it doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow or next week or next month, but it has to be. So even if you have a 5-year game plan, because one time I worked with a woman, it took her 5 years, but at least you have a plan in front of you to get out of where you are, that you have no hope if you don't think you can escape a situation. And that's why it's so important to see a therapist or to see a life coach or someone who can work with you on making a plan, like I call it an escape route. And even if it takes, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, at least you're working towards it. And you may even have to go backwards a couple of steps due to circumstances in your life. But if you don't have a plan, then you have no hope. That's the way I, you know, feel. How about you?
Absolutely. I believe you have to have that hope. And many clients, if they're with a family member who's abusive or they're in a relationship, and they say, "Can help me feel better, help me feel better." I said, really, I can't make you numb or teach you that it's okay for what this person is abusing you verbally or physically or emotionally. I can't let you at any point think that's okay or give you the tools to not feel that, because either you're numbing or you're justifying this person's abusive behavior. I can help you survive a crisis. You're in crisis mode. So we're in survival mode. We're creating a safety plan. We're making sure that there's food in the house, that you're getting your paperwork together. Even if you're not even ready to leave, you don't even see leaving as an option. I'm just making sure you gain these little things for yourself so you start to know that you're worth it. And I think so many times people are so frightened, they're so damaged, they're paralyzed by the abuse and by the fear that they don't even know which way to go. And it's so frightening sometimes to see how damaged a person has become. And I've worked with many couples, which I do a lot of couple counseling too. And I've had a couple where the other one convinced that person it was their fault for that other person to be cheating. And the other person can say, "Well, it's my fault. I didn't do that. I would have to expect if I don't look a certain way when he gets home from work, or if I don't make his favorite meal, or I don't know every minute what he wants to hear from me, and someone says he looks good, he has every right to cheat on me because that was my fault. I wasn't doing my job." And it's, you know, people listening who don't know about this think, "Oh, my God, this is bizarre. Are you kidding me?" You know, everybody, I think, says one thing, unfortunately, till when you're in those circumstances, it's a different story.
I think that you can get so emotionally beaten down in a relationship. And I saw myself become someone I didn't even know anymore. And not only didn't I know who I was anymore after my last marriage, you know, many years ago, but people who knew me didn't know who I was. They would say, "This isn't you. Why are you looking like this? Why are you acting like this? Why are you talking like this?" Because I was scared and I was alone. I felt that I had no way out. My ex-husband would threaten, "If you would try anything, I'm going to take the kids and you'll never see them again." You know, and I would believe this because he was a strong man. He was stronger than I was. I wasn't allowed to talk at certain times. I wasn't allowed to think for myself. And he had me wrapped around himself. And that's why I understand how, and I was a strong woman starting out and I was beaten down. So I look at women who didn't have the advantages that I have of even starting out strong. How do you ever get them strong enough? And that's always a good question because it takes time. A lot of times people are trapped financially in situations. I have women who are in that, you know, spot. If they leave, they have no place to go. They have no resources, no money. And that's why I say it takes a plan to get an education, a plan to go out and become self-sufficient financially. And some of these things do take time. But at least if you see progress and at least if you have a plan that you can follow, I feel there's hope. But for a lot of women, they just feel there is no hope and they feel hopeless. And until they start feeling some hope and some caring about themselves, they're just stuck. They're not going to be moving.
Yes, yes. And I know, I think for a lot of listeners who might be listening, who might not be in a physical abusive relationship or such an obvious abusive relationship, I find a lot of times people will minimize what a friend says, what a loved one or somebody, "Well, it's not that bad, at least they're not hitting me. It's not that bad, at least they're not doing this." I think if you ever find yourself saying, "It's not that bad, at least the person's not doing this," you really have to take a closer look. Because I find so many times with the people that I work with who've been in an abusive relationship or a dysfunctional relationship, if you look in other areas of their life, because they're so taken, of course, by whatever that abusive person in their life has been, they really almost don't have the energy to look at who else is around them. And toxic friends and family members can also, as you're healing and moving forward, take you back. And I think so many times people don't realize the impact of having just a toxic person. Maybe they're not physically abusive, but they're toxic emotionally. They're negative. They don't support you. They make, you know, those little digging comments, which I find is very damaging too. How would you feel about that?
I think as someone who's come out of an abusive situation and who, you know, ultimately found happiness, you know, 25 some years plus years ago, so I've been able to rearrange my whole life. But I will tell you this, that when I was going through the abuse, I really wasn't, people told me that you're not doing the right thing. Why don't you leave? Why don't you get out? But I just felt so beaten down. And that's why I say it's not easy to bring yourself when you're living with someone who is so toxic and who makes all kinds of threats against you and who plays mind games with you and passive aggressive behavior. And I'm embarrassed to say, but I say it because I know however I feel other women are understanding this. Sometimes I wish he would have hit me because the bruises that you have inside don't show. The bruises on the outside, people feel sympathy for you. But on the inside, when you're bruised and you're broken, people don't see that abuse. And I've had many of my women tell me that if he would have at least hit me, people would see that he beat me. So that's the sad part, that you have to wish for physical abuse because people won't, you know, just won't even recognize you that you're being emotionally abused. And it's hard to find support, and especially if you're living with someone who's so clever, who can convince people that he's a great guy or she's a great woman, and it's not their fault that you're, you know, having all these problems. And it's just like with my ex-husband, he said to me, well, if you want to go to a therapist, fine, but don't you dare tell him this, don't you dare tell him that. Well, no, I mean, if you can't go in being honest about it, you know, what's the point in even going if you can't talk about what's going on and you're being threatened all the time? So I think the main thing is to understand you have to get rid of toxic relationships. I know that for me, at the age of 40, my father had knocked me down one last time with his insults towards me, making me feel really bad about myself, which he had done my whole life out of supposedly love. But he came from a very abusive situation, so I try to understand it. But he went one step too far, and I finally said to him, this is it, we're done. We are divorced. You are no longer my father. You are out of my life. And it was the hardest thing I had to do because I loved my father. I loved the father I thought I had or the one I wanted because narcissists are very charming also. And they can make you feel loved. But that's not who they really are. It's all the abuse that goes with that. But I had to do it. And I never look back and have any regrets because I know that I didn't have to fall back into his traps again. And that's why my final advice is to tell women, you've got to get out. You can't stay in a toxic relationship and everything, anything good is going to come of it because it won't for you or for your children. You are their role model. They have to see you be strong so they can be strong.
Yes. Well, Bonnie, again, thank you so much. The half hour goes by so quickly. And, of course, I would love to have you on again. And thank
I'll
you
be
so
happy
much
anytime.
For coming on tonight. It's
my
just,
pleasure.
It's just
and to
amazing.
All your listeners, just be strong. Call Alexa. She's the best for a therapist that you can ever get. And Alexa, make sure they have your information so they can call you and start healing.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right.
And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. If you'd like to contact me, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. You can also find me on Psychology Today to give me a call or send me an email. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And again, Bonnie, thank you so much for being such an incredible person and an inspiration. And I truly love
so
you
much.
And I'm blessed.
I love you too. All right. Good night,
thank
everyone.
You.
Bye-bye.
Good night. And everyone, have a good night. And God bless.
Hurry in.